بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد. Respected elders and dear brothers, last night we commenced with the third juz, which was then completed in tonight's Taraweeh Salah. And in the opening few pages of the third juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has brought that ayat, that verse, which many of us know, many of us may have memorized also, which is known as Ayatul Kursi. Many virtues have been mentioned regarding this particular verse. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam asked Hazrat Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu, that tell me, do you know which is the greatest verse in the entire Quran? So Ubay bin Ka'b radiallahu anhu replied and said, Allahu wa rasuluhu a'lam, Allah and His Rasul know best. And we find this was the standard reply of Sahaba radiallahu anhu. Whenever Nabi alayhi salam would pose a question to them, then out of humility to show their submission before Allah and His Rasul, they would refer it back to Allah and His Rasul, that they know best. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salam then poses the question a second time, that tell me, do you know which verse is the greatest in the entire Quran? So he realizes that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants an answer from me. So he replies that it is this verse, Ayatul Kursi. When he gives this reply, Nabi alayhi salam takes hold of him, presses his chest, and says to him, لِيَهْنِكَ الْعِلْمِ يَا أَبَا الْمُنْدِرِ, that, O Abu al-Mundir, may you be congratulated on your high level of knowledge. That this is undoubtedly the greatest verse, the greatest ayat in the entire Quran. Now we all have learned this ayat perhaps when we were young in Maktab. Our children know it. We don't need to even look in the Quran to read it. But what are the benefits that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give us? Just for us to understand, when it comes to our dunyawi needs, our needs in this world, then each person, if he has to really ask himself, that which is at the top of the list as far as his worldly needs are concerned is afiyat and protection. Even before a person asks for rizq, before he asks for sustenance also, he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give him safety and protection. Because a person can have all the treasures in the world and the greatest amount of wealth in the world, but if there's no safety, no protection, he won't sleep at night. So when it comes to the greatest dunyawi worldly need, it is afiyat, protection. And when it comes to our greatest imani and ukhrawi need, the greatest need that a person will have in the hereafter is that as soon as I leave this world, Allah must give me entry into Jannah. Both of these needs can be found in Ayatul Kursi. Two ahadith. One is the hadith of Sunan al-Nasa'i. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that that person who will read Ayatul Kursi every night before going to bed, then the only thing between him and entering Jannah is his mouth. In other words, as soon as his eyes close, as soon as he leaves this world, he will gain admittance and entry into the gardens of Jannah. There will be nothing stopping him from entering Jannah because of reading this one verse at night. And many homes we find the practice, the father of the house, as he is locking up, he's making sure the windows are closed, the gate is closed, then he'll be reading Ayatul Kursi aloud. The mother, as she is tucking the children into bed, she also is reading aloud. In this way, our children also are taught. And they also learn the value of this beautiful ayah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. And the second hadith, the hadith of Sahih al-Bukhari, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that person who will read Ayatul Kursi after every fard salah. So the five salahs in the day, after every fard salah, he can read it after the fard, he can even read it after the sunnats and nafil of that particular salah, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint a special angel to protect him. Well, whatever he does, wherever he goes, his work that he has for the day, his duties as he is carrying them out, he's in the marketplace, whatever he is doing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appoint this angel to take care of him and to protect him. So this is the benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. This verse will take 1 minute, maximum 2 minutes to read. A person doesn't know it, then we can open the Quran, the second page of the third juz. But this is a verse that even young children know. But look at the benefit Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept. Let us make this intention. We have the knowledge, we have these avenues Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to us, now for us to put it into practice. That before we sleep tonight, let us take the time out, even if we have to read it audibly. So our children here, our spouses here, and this becomes a common practice within the home, and of course after every first salah that we recite, Ayatul Kursi. Thereafter we began last night with Surah Ali Imran, which is the third surah of the Quran. This particular surah is a Madani surah, and Mufassirin have explained that a Madani surah refers to that surah where the majority of the verses were revealed after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this particular surah, various injunctions, laws, ahkam, of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are mentioned. And the reason for it being called Alu Imran, we find discussion with regard to Imran. Imran was a pious person, and he was the maternal grandfather of Nabi Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. So Imran's daughter was Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha, and then she then gave birth to Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the conduct of Imran and his wife when she had conceived Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha, when she made this dua that, "Oh Allah, I have handed over to you that which is in my womb, and I have made this child, or rather I have made this intention that this child will be used for the khidmat of your deen." So before the birth of this child also, the parents had this intention that Allah must accept our child for the khidmat of deen. They had thought that they will give birth to a male child and he would then move in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but Allah willed otherwise and Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha was born. But because of their pure intention, Allah then says, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, that male child who you were wishing for is not, would not have reached the level that this particular female reached. And she was then the mother of Nabi Isa alayhi salam. And what a noble woman that her name is also mentioned in the Quran. We find that this is the only woman whose name is mentioned in the Quran. Even when it comes to Ummul Mu'mineen, Hazrat Aisha radiallahu anha, her name is not mentioned directly in the Quran. But Hazrat Maryam radiallahu anha, because of her nobility, because of her status, her name is mentioned directly in the Quran. So this again is a lesson for us as parents, or as soon to be parents, even those who have not yet gotten married as well. But we have this intention within the back of our minds that one day my progeny, my children, my grandchildren will be used for the khidmat of deen. And we make this dua. We find the mashayikh, that young girl will be 1 or 2 years old only. She's still in nappies. But they're making dua, "Oh Allah, give her a solid deeny home. Give her a good spouse who will take her in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala." These duas we make for our children. We should not just leave it to chance. But constantly we make these duas for the safety, for the protection of our children, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them for the khidmat of deen. In the opening verses of Surah Ali Imran, this is a very important discussion, something we should all try and understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about a very important aspect of our aqidah, our belief, where Allah speaks about the different types of verses that are revealed in the Quran. هُوَ الَّذِي أَنزَلَ عَلَيْكَ الْكِتَابِ مِنْهُ آيَاتٌ مُحْكَمَاتٌ هُنَّ أُمُّ الْكِتَابِ وَأُخَرُ مُتَشَابِهَاتٌ. Allah speaks about two types of verses. One is those verses whose meanings are clear, the wisdom behind them can be understood, and the translation is well known to everybody. And then you have that which is known as the mutashabihat, those verses whose meanings are not apparently known to people. Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know the meaning. As by means of an example, we find towards the beginning of the surah, Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Ra, Ha Mim, these type of verses whose translation is not always known. So Allah speaks about these verses and then He explains what should be our mindset or what should be our reaction to these verses. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ. Allah says those people whose hearts are deviated, those people who are misguided, then they attempt to find the meaning of these particular verses. Now, this is referring to the verses of Quran, but we can apply this very same principle to the other ahkam of deen. And we have mentioned this before also, that there are many rulings of Shariat, many ahkam that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down, whose wisdom escapes us. We cannot understand the wisdom behind it, the decisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes, and the rulings, the prohibitions, the commandments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. Many a times we cannot understand the wisdom behind them. But here Allah is telling us what should be our reaction, that that person who is deviated, that person who is misguided, he will attempt to find the wisdom behind it. وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. Those people who are firmly grounded in their knowledge, their iman is firm, their knowledge is firm, then what is their reaction? يَقُولُونَ آمَنَّا بِهِ كُلٌّ مِّنْ عِنْدِ رَبِّنَا. We believe in everything that comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this is the command of Allah. وَمَا يَذَّكَّرُ إِلَّا أُولُو الْأَلْبَابِ. Allah says only people of intelligence will understand. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commands have got to be followed, whether we understand the wisdom or not, whether we appreciate the wisdom or not. So this is a great lesson Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us. And thereafter, various other lessons throughout the third juz. And then we commenced with the fourth juz and the last verse, and we'll terminate. The opening verse of the fourth juz, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will never attain true piety, true taqwa, true closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, until and unless you do not spend from that which is beloved to you. That which is beloved to you, that which you have an attachment to, you will have to at times sacrifice this in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to gain that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we find this is the system of this dunya. That for a person to reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to gain closeness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will have to undergo sacrifice. There will be difficulty. A person has abundant wealth and he gives 10 rand in charity, it doesn't really hurt him. Yes, he will be rewarded for it. But ulama say when a person feels the pinch, that I don't have and I'm still giving, then he will find that closeness with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abu Talha radiallahu anhu, he heard this verse. So he comes to Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam and he says to him, O Nabi of Allah, Allah has declared in the Quran that we will never attain piety until we spend that which is the most beloved to us. And then he says that I have this particular garden which was called Bayraha. This was a very beautiful garden, excellent location also opposite the masjid. And it had a spring of fresh water. Nabi alayhi salam would come and drink from that particular spring as well. So he says, O Nabi of Allah, I make you my witness that I have given this garden in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Arju birraha wa dhukraha. And I have hope based on this verse that Allah will grant me His closeness. And this particular act of charity will be stored for me as a reward on the day of Qiyamah. Immediately after this, he goes to the garden. From outside he calls. His wife and children are inside. From outside he screams out to them that this garden no longer belongs to us. You need to gather your belongings and leave. And look at the response also, without questioning, without objecting. His wife gathers the belongings and she also leaves. Nabi alayhi salam says to him, Bakhin dhaka malun rabihun. What an excellent transaction you have done. What a profitable transaction you have done. So a great lesson for us. Allah has blessed us with many, many, many bounties. And really, a few years back, one of the elders of Tabligh had come to our country. And it was the occasion of some jalsa. So the dastarkhan was laid down. And as we know, when it is some jalsa and when there is some high profile guest that comes, then how many colors we find on the dastarkhan? The South African dastarkhan is, people who have traveled the world will realize there is no dastarkhan like this anywhere else in the world. How many different types of bread, different types of savories and different drinks and desserts and baking. So this elder, this pious person just looked at the dastarkhan and he continued to shake his head. And nevertheless, the food was served, people ate, and after that entire meal was completed, he then addressed the ulama ikram that were there, and he said to them, that I have traveled the entire world, and I've been to many countries, and I've seen people benefiting from different bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But I have never seen in one country, the people enjoying every bounty to the highest extent, as you are in your country. That you drive the best of cars, you have the best of homes, you have the best infrastructure, you have the best of food. When it comes to your dini avenues, you have the best. He says, make shukr for this and don't forget to pay your spiritual zakat. What do you mean by spiritual zakat? That every now and again you will have to leave your soft bed and spend a night in the masjid. Now also i'tikaf is coming up, whether in this masjid or anywhere else. But you will have to sacrifice that which is beloved to you in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This will be the spiritual zakat. He says, continue enjoying. We are, ulama say, we are the weak part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We are not used to the sacrifice that the people of the past would make. So continue to eat the best, sleep on the best bed, drive the best car. But make sure you are paying your spiritual zakat. You are giving in charity, you are spending in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You're feeling the pinch every now and again. In this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala won't take away these bounties and He'll continue to bless us. Allah give us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.